Tell me a story.
What kind of story would you like to hear, Lane?
Let's see. Hey, how about something I never heard of?
The prophecy would be fulfilled,
Lane. The wire,
Lane,
might actually be thought of as a highly advanced upper layer of the real
that
world.
What flows through the wire
in other words,
merely
physical reality is nothing but an illusion.
If we can assume that it was the development of a worldwide system of electricity, prophecies, and computers that caused the eventual formation of the wire, then I have to wonder if another world was created. Here in the real continuum, God exists only as an imaginary concept.
A physical body exists,
there may actually exist a circuitous body to be more powerful being alive.
You understand, don't you?
Huh?
Hello everyone, and welcome back to the Next Lander Watchcast. I am your host, Alex Navarro, and as always, I'm joined by Vinny Caravella.
Always.
Always. You're always,
always
here.
Always here, always online.
Indeed. We are always hooked up to the wired, are we not, Brad Shoemaker?
Everything is connected. All people are something, something, something digital philosophizing.
Hell yes. We are definitely going to be doing more digital philosophizing as this month wears on. This is our second episode around the anime series Serial Experiments Lane. Last week we met Lane, we met her friends, saw a little bit of what was going on out there in the wired, but folks, buckle up because things have taken a turn this week.
Yeah, man, I kicked myself after last week because I forgot to mention the most important detail of my experience.
Okay.
Which is that as I watched the first episode of Lane for this podcast, I also tried Natto for what I'm pretty sure is the first time ever.
Really?
Yes.
How did that go?
For whatever reason, just shoved it in my face. She was like, here, you're eating this. It was a sensory experience.
Mm-hmm.
What
let's
is
say.
It?
The
what,
the
is, what is Natto?
For anyone who doesn't know.
Yeah, like me.
It's fermented soybeans. It is a Japanese, I guess, is it a delicacy? Do they consider it a delicacy?
It's definitely a food staple. I don't know if it is a straight up delicacy.
It is fermented soybeans. It is notorious, though.
Okay.
In the same way that some other foods are for being like
an acquired taste.
Yes.
Okay.
Somewhat noxious to certain sensibilities.
Like it smells like feet is how I had always heard it described.
Okay.
A lot of things that are fermented are.
It's very mucusy also.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You're painting a word picture here, which is.
Yes. Anyway.
So that kind of colored your experience watching Lane.
It was a sensory experience on all levels is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Well, I have to imagine that is a little bit what it smells like in Lane's bedroom right now, amid also a lot of emanations and steam and other things, because right out of the gate here, I think I want to talk about the escalation of Lane's computer and technology. Before we get there real quick, though, I will just say we are this week talking about episodes 4, 5, and 6 of Serial Experiments Lane. Those, if you are going by the titles, are Religion, Distortion, and Kids. We will be kind of bopping around between these episodes because, you know, a lot of things kind of blend together here. There will be some linear talking, some just kind of talking about what's happening to the characters at large. But I do want to kick things off here with the sort of immediate escalation of Lane's Navi computer, because in my mind, this took a little longer to happen over the course of the series before she just straight up started living inside the Nebuchadnezzar and its computer systems that hook into the Matrix, because holy shit, man.
Yeah, I didn't expect to start with this, but that was absolutely my strongest observation coming out of episode 6 in particular, was just like, man, I am so into whatever's going on in her bedroom, except for maybe the giant puddle on the floor.
Yeah.
We talk about it on the Ramblecast. Liquid cooling it can be a tough thing to do, and she's got a lot of, well, by that episode, she literally has, like, seems like steam release happening inside a closed space, which condensation's going to happen, water's going to pool on a floor. But at least, I think, in episode 4, she just has a lot more gear, towers of power happening.
She is in full-on screwdriver hooking things up mode and just, like, really, really going to work on this thing.
I mean, it's not even a bedroom anymore. She just lives inside of a computer now.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's in the server. Yeah, I mean, so this was one of the things that is most top of mind for me with this series is just the way that Lane's use of technology escalates as the series goes along. But again, this happens much faster because from episode 4 to about episode 6, the degree of escalation between those is staggering.
It's amazing, and instead of being horrified, I was kind of impressed, inspired, maybe a little jealous of everything that's going on here. I mean, it's not really, unless I missed something, and that's why you guys are here to fill me in, and if I did, unless I missed something about Lane's aptitude for this stuff, it's not really explained how she's coming by this hardware or knowledge to do these things. I assume the Wired is feeding her some stuff.
I don't think it's really important the how. You can kind of, you know, I mean, Dad is definitely not above buying some high-grade technology. Where the rest of this stuff is coming from, she seems to have made some friends in the Wired since the last time we were here.
But even the dad seems to be like a little, more than a little. The dad seems to be concerned at this point, where the dad was a little apathetic before. The dad seems a little like, hey,
This is really escalating at a rate that I had not anticipated.
Your room is dripping on us from the... You're good? Everything? Yeah. Do we need to have a talk about safety online at some point? You know, it's like being online.
Well, that first time he peers in episode 4, he's concerned, but he's not really raising any alarms or hackles. And to be fair, at that point, mostly the real thing is that she just has a whole lot of memory chips and circuit boards everywhere on the floor while she is laying on the floor, skimming through schematics, has screwdriver in her teeth as she goes through everything. She is definitely taking the no static electricity thing very seriously, continuing to hang out in her nightgown. But, you know, the first thing we kind of get out of this is this notion that maybe the parents are starting to notice, and Mika, the sister, is starting to notice that something's up with Lane.
When you say parents, let's say dad. Mom takes a little bit while longer to even acknowledge that anything is happening with Lane. Weird robot mom, whatever mom's got going on.
Yeah,
I have fully made my peace at this point with the fact that this is not a show interested in like the logistics or feasibility of anything that's happening.
Not like into this, the nitty gritty. No,
this very much seems like it's just trying to advance the themes it wants to advance, and how she got all this stuff, it just doesn't care.
Yeah,
you know, and that kind of thing. But also, like the increasing complexity of her room seems to kind of mirror the changes in her personality that are also happening, because like she is very clearly not the same person as these three episodes progress.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, she's absolutely evolving her, both like in terms of her interest and ability with technology, but also just in her social interactions with people.
Yes. She's much more talkative is the first thing I noticed for sure.
New Lane.
There's kind of a placid nature to her at times, especially in front of the computer.
You really don't think Lane would have heard anything about what happened, do you?
The suicide, you mean?
Lane, where did you hear about that?
You know?
Well, yeah. I only heard about it.
Oh, like where?
On the Wired.
Right. You must have gotten the hang of your new navvy by now. You'll have to show it to me sometime.
Sure, Alice. But after I modify it.
You're modifying it? I didn't know you were into all that hacking stuff.
You know, I don't know what it is about you, Lane. You've changed.
Really?
How so?
Rekha's right.
I can't put my finger on it.
It seems like it ties into the stuff we're going to be getting at, which I assume is like kind of one of the main thrusts of the whole series about sort of... Because there's all these voiceovers from characters, we know not whom, about, you know, man is an absurd animal. Like, he's reached the limits of his evolution.
What do they call it, like a neoteny or something?
The idea that it is
a creature that it can no longer evolve past where it is.
Right, but that, like, the highest form of being is to transcend the physical and become some kind of digital being of pure thought.
Mm-hmm. Look, we're just here for that physical pleasure, you know? I'm holding on to this meat corpse just so I can have my physical pleasure, and that's
so
okay
that you
with
can be
me.
Aware that you exist.
Yeah.
The older sister is really growing on me.
Yeah.
Like...
Well, she's developing a real personality as we're kind of getting into these episodes.
Yeah, well, the first three episodes, it seemed like she might just be sort of generic petulant teenager in the way that all teenagers are petulant, but then, like, is it the fifth episode here?
Yes.
She's, like, hanging out with a dude, and she just fucking has no time for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, hey, you want to go watch a movie? Or when she just walks off, doesn't even, like, listen to it. You know what I mean? It was like, okay, no, she's actually, like, she's just got her, like, a real fuck-off kind of attitude that is entertaining.
I think I said this in the original episode. She feels like the only normal, aware person in this spectrum of people here. Like, dad feels like he's in on whatever's going on. Mom feels like she asks, like, is when the sister asks, like, yo, something's up with Lane.
And the dad's, and they, like, both brush her off immediately. Yeah. They're like, oh, no, yeah, everything's whatever. Fine.
And then the mom's like, there's something up with Lane. Like,
yeah. Yep. Is she
and
right?
And then he does a weird standing there. He just puts his arm around her and pulls her a little closer. I don't know what's going on with their relationship or what is up. What's up with mom?
They're also really leaning into the imagery of dad's glasses being sort of like incandescent screens in a way. Like the way the light sort of reflects off them. It's almost like you are staring into a computer monitor.
Yes, the anime trope of the bright reflective glasses. Pretty strong here.
Which in my head now I just can't get I can't get past that Rob Zachney gif where his glasses flash and it's like, man, yes, every single time the dad drinks a coffee and the glasses totally blow out, it's just Rob.
So there, each of these episodes kind of has its own central thing that kind of builds around sort of like a mixture of what people are doing in The Wired and the ways in which they are kind of being twisted or distorted, or in some cases, causing people to do things that they otherwise would not. And this episode's version of that is this video game that people are playing online. What is it? Fantoma?
Fantoma, yeah.
Yeah.
I find that I can't talk about this show without having the episodes right in front of me, because like, nothing we have watched has more like defied recollection than this show.
Mm.
It's like impossible for me to keep track of, like, okay, which episode was doing what, like, which one was the one with the weird real life video game shit?
Yes.
Which one was the one with the parental hallucination stuff? You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I just can't keep track. Like, everything is so intangible in this show and strange.
There is a sense that it is all connected in one way or another, but like in this particular section of the show, especially, these are the closest thing you're going to get to like bottle episodes, where it's like they are telling a discrete story within the context of what Lane is discovering about The Wired. But in this case, and I feel like throughout the show, when they do this, it isn't in a, oh, well, this is going to be solved by the end of this. It's more of a, okay, there was a breadcrumb trail here involving this game, Fantoma, and the people who are playing it mysteriously dying in the real world, but that isn't really a complete story. It's more of a nugget of info and a trail that Lane ends up following throughout the episode that kind of leads her down the path that she's already on.
Well, we also get the guy trying to get into his apartment being stalked by the, you know, kid from The Ring or whatever, like a the girl with the
she's
dog.
So cheerful.
She's like, tag, you're it.
Yeah.
You know. So
gotcha.
What do you want? What's going on? Damn keys!
Gotcha.
Gotcha. So what is it with the fans? At some point it comes out that maybe wires got crossed in linking up this game for middle schoolers or high school kids with a game for kindergartners or something, where they play tag
online. Yes.
Online,
there's some sort
tag?
Of online tag game that has been glitched, as they put it, to somehow blend in with this Fantoma game, which is a dungeon crawler of sorts that one person describes as having downloaded off an illegal website.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if there's already a weird shadowy aspect of that game even existing. The show does not really get into it, at least at this stage, but, you know, the idea is that it's not supposed to be a thing that follows you into the real world, and certainly is not going to involve children stalking you in the real world. But somehow, through the glitching of this, that has caused this to happen.
All right, can I ask a big picture Lane question here?
Please.
That might be very out of sequence with what they were talking about. But in terms of what's going on here, is this intimating or is this going in a place where we are talking about the nature of human thought as electrical signals and the way computers work as electrical signals, where what we usually see in this space is people wearing a VR headset, but somehow human electrical thought is able to intermingle with computer electrical processing in kind of the same way, and that's where we're headed? The kind of, like, hey, we can infiltrate the brain wirelessly. It's in the Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi 6.
I think what you can divine from what we've seen so far is that, I mean, there's definitely a lot of allusions to the idea of people saying very flatly, you know, the real world and the wired world are actually different, and your real friends are not the same thing as the friends you meet online. And then characters going, are they?
Well, Lane explicitly.
Are they, in fact, different?
Nah, Dad. Not really.
For me, it kind of reminds me of some of what Metal Gear Solid 2 would end up going on to try to promote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole idea of, like, discrete consciousnesses emerging through this information soup, you know?
Yes.
And
yes.
Stuff like that. Like, I mean, that's what they kind of repeated references to, like, God in, you know, this sort of God in the network type stuff.
Yeah.
But it does seem like this, and again, I could be projecting this or misinterpreting, but it does seem like there's a bit of, look, all human thought is just electrical signals anyway. So what's the difference between signals being passed along digitally and signals in your brain? It's really basically the same thing, so we're going to treat them as the same thing.
Totally.
And, I should say real quick, for people yelling at the radio, I'm pretty sure I remember that stuff in MGS2. It's been a long time.
No, I think you're right. And yeah, I mean, look, the thing that we're learning, I think, especially through these episodes, is that while they say present day, present time, and they are sort of, you know, there is definitely like a near future quality to this. Some of the technology they are describing and some of the things that go on here are very fantastical and science fiction. As much as this show sort of grounds itself in a vision of the internet that feels, for its time, forward thinking, but also believable. They're talking about shit like people just, like, dying people living in VR, you know, like, full-time.
Yeah.
You're talking about, like, dudes that can, like, manifest aspects of themselves into the wired, but only their mouth, you know, whereas Lane has the ability to move her entire physical form through this in a way that seemingly other people can't.
And it seems like when Lane is interfacing with the computer, she's basically in a kind of meditative state. Like, she's almost, like, telepathically or without an input device able to sync up with the wired.
Yeah. She's talking to it, like, in a way that feels like she's having a conversation with someone that no one else can hear.
Oh, yeah. Or like, and visualizing and being able to, like you said, project herself from her body into this thing through some kind of transmission medium that maybe goes beyond what we have, I don't know, is supposed to be in this world, or C, is supposed to be supernatural. You know, like, I'm not exactly clear on the mechanics of this yet.
I think the idea is that these things are becoming increasingly blurred as far as, like, the lines between them are concerned. You know, like, while this is all rooted in technology and, you know, like, science, there is an element of spirituality to it that I think is, they're saying, is sort of, like, baked into even the thing, the technology and the things that we invent. So
when we get to the kind of exposition dump in episode 6, I think that becomes a little more clear.
Yeah.
Or Black Ops projects.
We're not there yet, though. No. Right now, Lane's friends are just super impressed that she's getting into homebrew tech and that also she's, like, talking like, you know, more of a social person. This is where, you know, she's like, you know, she's hanging out with her friends and, like, they actually seem like they're her friends now.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like she's both more social, but also more ready to run off and leave them to go get on the computer, to go on the computer at the drop of a hat.
I really want to put it back together. It's in pieces in my bedroom right now.
Yeah, I got stuff to do.
Yeah. And when she gets back there, you kind of see what she's been up to. Like, everything is kind of back together, and she's getting this voicemail from this, what sounds like a professor. Like, sounds like she's talking to someone at a university that is, like, giving her information about the psyche processor that she has and what she can kind of do with it, which makes for a very convenient lore dump as far as, like, what any of that stuff means. But then immediately following that, we get this scene in the club again at Siberia, and the DJ's there, And it sounds like he's talking to someone that sounds exactly like Lane. But then when he turns around, she's not there.
JJ.
Yeah?
You know anything about that net game all the kids are playing?
Ah, Fantoma. Forget about it. An adult like you wouldn't be into a game like that. So, why do you ask, No. Oh man, are my ears like playing tricks on me already?
And also, it was this part, I mean, it seemed explicit, but he's like, oh, that's whatever, that's not for an adult like you. That's kid stuff, not for an adult like you, which, you know, clearly Lane is a kid.
Yeah, she's 13.
Yeah, so like something weird going on here. It seemed very intentional to call
out. Oh, yeah. But, you know, I mean, at least you now have an understanding of, like, this guy wasn't just recognizing some random person. It was like, no, he knows this voice and he knows kind of who this person is, but maybe not really.
I don't know if it's a quirk of the translation, but that's such a goofy thing to say to somebody. Oh, an adult like you wouldn't be into that.
Yes, yes.
It is definitely a little like, okay, we are literally stating the premise of what's going on here. But, you know, I think it's they've like, set some interesting breadcrumbs and some interesting mysteries here around that stuff. But, you know, before we come back to any of that, another kid has to have a serious freak out, though this time it's not a little girl that's stalking him. It seems to be Lane.
I'm
way into this kid's sweater.
The cat sweater?
It's such the green a weird sweater. Cat sweater. It's just got a giant cat on it.
It's like Lane, but also a little kid?
There's also a little kid that he sees that is like making the weird scrunch face that we've talked about before.
Yeah, it wasn't clear who that was, if anyone that was supposed to be representing. It doesn't really look entirely like. Is it not the little girl from before that was stalking the other guy in the apartment complex?
So I don't think it is, because when they're on the street later and Lane sees that one little girl who bumps into her, I think that's supposed to be the real life little girl that other kid was being stalked by.
Yes. Oh, I went back and looked. They are totally different.
Yeah, with the toy. I mean, they put the little dog there.
And I think the thing you're supposed to pick up on is like, oh, I recognize that girl, but you don't know why, like, what the deal there is.
Of course, do we know at this... Again, I'm losing track. Do we know at this point that this is a game that small children may have some exposure to?
Well, so Fantoma is not supposed to be. It's the tag game that has somehow been intertwined with this. Yeah,
that's what I mean. Like, there is a connection to children around this age.
Yes.
I don't know if we get that yet. I
can't remember. That's later in this episode.
That might be later.
So this guy, I mean, she does some spooky stuff, this little girl.
And he's freaked out, and he's shooting an invisible gun, and the implication seems to be that he may have shot some people in real life, not knowing where he was or what was happening.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, what are we to make of these sheets on the rooftop draped over what looks like a body? Yeah.
The body-sized sheets?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the impression that somewhere along the way, the lines between what he thought was reality and what he thought was the game got so blurred that he shot what he thought was a threat.
But, okay, my question was, did he ever have a real gun, or is this some kind of, like, mind bullets in somebody?
That is never explicitly stated.
Yeah, that was, I hadn't considered that he was shooting actual people in real life.
Cause like he runs away, you never see a real gun or anything. And he's obviously using his video game gun in his, what does he say? Like level 5, whatever. And unloads. He does say, what does he say? He says in my subtitles, it said, are you a PK or something?
Yeah. Oh God. I meant to mention that there are more little like era appropriate computer touches here and there. Mm-hmm. And that one is like, this is extremely the era of Ultima Online. I assume they're talking about player killers there.
Yeah, right, exactly. I think it's heavily implied, if not explicitly implied, some little girl is dead or somebody's dead on this rooftop.
Yeah,
he does say after this something like, it's not my fault, I was scared, I didn't know it was a real person.
I was scared, I didn't know it was just a young girl. I'm telling you, it wasn't my fault. Look, I didn't even know who she was. She just came out of nowhere. The game Fantoma uses this dedicated client-server application. It lets you fight in the wired without any boundaries. I downloaded the app from an illegal server to play it just a little while ago. For us, It had the most advanced dungeon-style action game interface. But it had somehow gotten linked up with a tag game played by kindergartners.
Which, and they say when they're kind of taking you through the, you know, doom-looking corridors of this thing, they say, like, somehow it had gotten linked to this tag game for kids in the internet. And that whatever they did, whatever happened with that connection, seems to have created some sort of weird glitch that follows these players into the real world.
And he smashed what I assume was his portable, like that other kid had in the bar that time, his like portable computer.
One that looks like a glue gun, yes.
Yeah. Right. He smashes his to try and, I guess, log out. Brad, what'd you think of this like early 3D world, like the 3D
the rendering?
Parts of this? Yeah.
Just wondering how they generated it. I don't know. It's
very,
pretty bare bones.
It's pretty early texture. Just mapped onto walls.
Yes, very low res, very like dungeon crawly, by way of like Doom or Wolfenstein. But you know, it sets a mood. You know, the idea that like, hey, as advanced as this technology is, we can't really imagine computer graphics beyond the scope of what we're actually have it access to in 1998. You know.
Yeah, or like, look, maybe the characters this kid was seeing looked real enough.
Yeah,
especially with the creepy ghost faces happening.
Immediately following this is Lane getting another visit from her dad, and this is where he starts, there's another conversation with, I think, the same professor kind of talking about Phantoma and what happened there.
And the knights. That's what I was just, looking at that stuff. Like, there's talk there about, like, something like these games are not that unusual. It's how they've been modified and connected together.
Mm-hmm.
And this may have been the work of the Knights or something like that.
The Knights of the Eastern Calculus, I believe, is their full name.
I saw that on Wikipedia, and like, where the hell did that come from? I don't remember
said. I don't think they say that until later in the series. It's not a spoiler or anything. It's just I think that's the full name of the group. But that is loosely based, I think, on an existing hacker group from this era that it was like the Knights of the something else calculus or something like that. But that they did pull that from, I think, like a real life hacker group that existed. But I don't, you know, like at this point, we don't know what the hell's going on with the Knights. Like, are they friends? Are they foes? They seem to be communicating with Lane in various ways, though we don't really know in what capacity. And we definitely get an allusion to something at the end of episode 6, but we're not quite there yet. Because Dad has to give his little warning about, this is where he starts talking about the lines between, you know, real world and, you know, all that stuff. And then Lane's just like, You know,
I don't know if
I can do some stuff, man.
Yeah. But don't worry, I'll be okay.
Lane, looks like you've gotten very comfortable now, talking to people on the wire.
Yeah.
Let me give you just one little warning.
Yeah?
I think that my little girl perhaps has become obsessed with the wired. It's just an advanced medium for communication. Don't ever get it confused with the real world. Do you understand what I'm warning you about?
You're wrong.
Huh?
The border between the two isn't so clear. And I will be able to enter it soon. In full range and full motion, I'll be completely metamorphosed.
But even with the top-of-the-line civilian-use Navi, you couldn't possibly...
I can do it. I've upgraded it.
A Pashuke processor, huh? But Lane...
Don't worry, Daddy. I'm still me, you know.
Sometimes I wonder...
We talked about this in school. I know online safety. It's okay. Anyway, back to my video games.
When it's all said and done, the wired is just a medium for communication and transfer of information. You mustn't confuse it with the real world. Good advice.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be heeded.
No, I mean, she says her response to that is like, nah, I'm not sure, Dad.
Yeah, I can
think,
do stuff.
I think it's kind of blurring the
I think I'm actually better at this than you.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if the line's as clear as you think, old man. Anyway. See ya. I got a system to cool. I got an oscillation to make variable.
Yep. And the last thing we get in this particular episode, there's another montage here of like her just sort of like monitoring a wide variety of wired traffic and messages that are being traded. But at the end of the episode, we get another visit from the mysterious men in suits and their laser pointers.
Yeah, I wondered if this was, again, that Matrix comparison has poisoned me. I wondered if this was going into some kind of, like, powers in the digital world, starting to manifest in the real world kind of direction.
Mm-hmm.
You won't have to dodge them.
Kind style. Of stuff, yes.
Yeah. Well, all we get from this is that they are continuing to watch the house, and in this case, yes, Lane is able to manifest her anger, seemingly, into a physical force that destroys one of the guy's weird visor Google Glass things, and that
targeting
sends them,
dot thing.
That sends them scattering.
Go away!
Interrupted. Yeah, I mean, look, the guy, if I remember correctly, this guy's eye is, like, bleeding. It's bad news.
Yeah, the thing just exploded on your face. Like, that's not cool.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. We should go. Also, like, her computer system goes bananas during that, right? Like, it's, like, starts overheating and...
No, that's later. The next time.
No, not the parasite part, but doesn't it show, like, her computer system, like, starting to...
Oh, yeah. There's a little bit of, like, steam and a little bit of, like, the fan. There's definitely some shots of, like, the fans running on stuff.
Yeah.
I will say her cooling system, her methods seem a little crude in places. Like, yeah, she has some very industrial-looking technology. She also has about 75 box fans that are all just pointing at various things. That doesn't seem safe.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, we've all been there. It's, you do what you got to do. Take the side off of that case, and you got to air that thing out.
So what? But you also need to run something to make the water drip out of the room because that's not safe either.
That's later. Yeah. That's when she takes it up a notch.
Yeah, several notches. So yes, apparently Lane is able to manifest some sort of psychoactive power. I don't really know what at this point, but
she doesn't either.
Yeah, she seems as freaked out about it as anyone, but also she seems just to not want those guys around. So where were you guys at once you got through this episode? We were like, okay, this is starting to get a little too weird. Are you anxious for the next one? What do you got?
I was curious after this encounter with the dudes in suits, kind of where things were going with what may be happening to her.
I was with Brad on the Matrix stuff. I think I thought I was seeing like, oh, she's able to manipulate the code style thing. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we'll find out what happens in the next two episodes in just a couple of minutes. But first, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we are back, and it is time for Layer 05, Distortion. Some shit happens in this episode, man.
Yeah, this one felt like maybe the most real philosophical, not navel-gazing, but like let's explore the nature of our characters. And is this, this is the one that focuses on the sister a lot, right?
Yeah, there's definitely a fair amount of Lane here too, but this is the one where Mika kind of gets the most that happens to her, and it's definitely not all good.
No.
But it does kind of open with that big preamble that you were sort of, I think, talking about, Brad, the stuff where Lane is kind of communicating with some sort of unseen force that is just kind of narrating, you know, the whole thing about mankind creating an exit through the wired from its, you know, physical flesh form, the absurd creature that man has evolved into.
Mankind is a creature that no longer evolves. Compared to other animals, the incidence of cancer in man is exceedingly small. One theory says that man, a neoteny, is no longer able to evolve. If this is actually true, then what an absurd creature man has ultimately evolved into. Not knowing what it is that drives them or even keeps them alive, they keep their bodies merely to satisfy the desires of the flesh. They're worthless, don't you think? That's all mankind is when it comes down to it. However, you don't have to remain a wretched human being forever. Mankind has finally created an exit, whereby he can cheat mortality and escape.
Huh? What do you mean?
The network. The wired is the way. Lane.
But tell me who you are.
I'm God.
And then, you know, kind of ends her asking, like, who is this? And you're like, I am God.
It is no longer necessary to remain a wretched human being.
Thank goodness.
Finally.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is presumably the same voice that has been communicating with her on and off, you know, when she was on the train, when she was kind of hearing stuff there. Possibly, you know, the cause of some of the visions that she's having, it's though it's not entirely certain. But, you know, it seems like there is some unseen force out there that, if not manipulating her, is at the very least trying to make communication with her a regular thing.
It's the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. The internet is following her wherever she goes.
Yeah, a bunch of weirdos on the internet.
Doesn't even need a cell phone for it.
Yeah. Got a minute?
You also get this business about the traffic light system, whatever, having been, like, hacked and disrupted.
Yes.
So you get some sense that there are, like, malicious actors out there on the network doing stuff.
And based on what we know, you can probably infer that this might be related at least to the Knights if it isn't specifically them. Though, again, what the Knights' aims are completely unclear.
Yeah, like, haven't the Knights been portrayed as do-gooders at some point? And also as bad actors? Like, it feels like it's gone back and forth.
Yeah, it's never entirely clear at this stage what their intentions are or what they are actually, like, angling toward. Though, you know, by the end of these episodes, it feels like maybe there's a little bit more malicious intent there than I think people had kind of been led to believe.
I think it was in the first three that you kind of got a sense that maybe they were actually, like, some, I don't know, digital Robin Hood or something.
White Hat, but, you know, kind of thing.
Yes, but it seems more sinister by the time these three are over.
Or at least, like, in my mind, it seemed like they were trying to uncover or bring to the public the true nature of the Wired or some conspiracy or something that is behind the scenes that they need to make public, right, for the public good.
Yeah. And who it is that is now communicating with Lane through a variety of inanimate objects and also seemingly her floating parents, again, is not entirely clear. But boy, she learns a lot.
If it's anyone at all.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, I didn't even necessarily assume it was a person or, like, a some kind of, like, sentient being talking to her, necessarily.
I mean, the reason I interpret it that way is more that, like, I don't think Lane would be able to divine new information entirely through talking to through her own brain or her own visions. It feels like something is trying to break through and give her what she needs to understand what's happening.
Yeah, that's definitely possible. This show obviously is not about, like, giving concrete answers. I thought these truths might I thought this might be some process of revelation, I guess is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe these truths were coming to her through her continued exposure to this stuff.
Because, like, the first time it's this little doll and they're talking about, like, prophecies and the way that sort of, like, you know, things manifest through the idea of prophecies. And then, you know, that's where we kind of learn about the traffic signal stuff and, like, all the crashes that have been happening around that. Though they also mentioned apparently the cars have self-driving technology, so this is the far-flung future. We don't even have working versions of that shit yet.
Well, look, their working version also doesn't seem to be all that great.
Their working version seems a little too reliant on the wire to get it where it needs to go.
Yeah.
This entire episode structurally is just like two parallel stories, right? It's like pretty much Lane just absorbing all these philosophies. And the sister going through whatever the hell it is she's going through here.
Like, Lane pops up outside of that, her philosophy sessions a couple of times, like on the crosswalk and on the
where she's, like,
screen,
seemingly talking to someone as traffic is whizzing by her as she's standing in the middle of the crosswalk.
It's a really confusing episode.
A little bit. Like, the main question for me is just, like, how is the sister exposed to all this stuff? She doesn't seem to be super into the wire, or we've never had any indication that she even, like, touches computers necessarily.
Well, I mean, the first time she sees something really freaky is she's staring up while Lane is doing that. She stares up at one of the, you know, big video screens you see in, like, Shibuya or whatever. And, like, it's Lane's giant moon face appearing there in a way that looks a little bit distorted and wrong from the way we normally see her.
Yeah. And is that before she gets her prophetic message on the napkin after the kid tries to hit on her with the Coca-Cola?
Yeah. I mean, So the kid hits on her, and she gets the, you know, the whole thing with the soda spilled on her. And it's the kid, by the way, one of the hacker moppets from from Siberia.
Always hitting on everybody.
But she got a thing of pocket tissues, the way you get in, you know, when you're standing around on the street in Japan. And she opens it up at one point and looks in there, and there's a message to her that says, "Fulfill the prophecy."
Yeah, a lot of talk about prophecy in this episode.
Where, like, the dead won't have anywhere to go. It's crowded.
The other side is overcrowded. The dead will have no place to go.
Creepy.
Which is yeah, that's a fucked up thing to read on a fucking random tissue that you just got from some guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's not having a good day.
No, everything that happens to Mika in this episode sucks for her, yeah. By and large.
Yeah, it's weird though, because she's been like the most prominent voice of reason through this whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the dad is off in his weird computer world, the mom is just kind of disaffected, and like Mika is the one going like, "Lane's weird lately." Yeah. Like, what the hell's going on here? Like, she's the one that seems by far the most grounded.
Totally. So she's like, "This shouldn't be happening." Everybody else is like, "Oh, whatever."
But maybe it is by virtue of her being more observant that somehow this is being inflicted on her. I don't know. Also, I did look at some of these Lane scenes, and I forgot those are occurring much more in the form of like a dialogue than I remembered.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's straight up her asking questions of the voice and the voice responding and stuff.
Though a lot of times the voice feels like it's continuing on with a monologue that it was already intending to deliver, and it rarely feels like it is actually addressing her questions.
Yeah, yeah. But even then, even you know, the symbolism could still be of her discovering things, even if she's asking questions of something. Anyway.
So the sister gets the face on the TV. She gets the note in her pocket on the tissues, but mm-hmm. like it seems like it's, and she sees Lane in the middle of the crosswalk, right?
Yeah,
in traffic.
The spilled coffee forming into text, which was like kind of a crazy visual.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, her yes, that was kind of cool. But yeah, she's getting it all now.
Like a bunch of weird shit happening.
But Lane also seems pretty perplexed by what's actually taking place here, because like right after this, she goes to school, and then her friends come. She's like, "Oh, wow, you've become a really incredible hacker. How'd you do that shit?" And she's like, "What are you talking about? I haven't done anything."
"Hey, Lane, what on earth did you do?"
"I still can't believe it, Lane. I guess that you really are pretty good."
"I had no idea you could pull off a complicated hacker stunt like that."
"What are you girls talking about?"
"She's still playing innocent, I guess."
"I really don't understand."
"You mean to say that you honestly didn't do it, Lane?"
"Do what?"
"The Information Control Bureau of the Information Ministry began their official investigation this afternoon into yesterday's computer crash in the VTCZX road traffic information system, stating that there was a high probability that it was a deliberate act. At this time, neither the Bureau nor the Information Ministry have any clues."
And the implication seems to be that these hacks that are going on, at least her friends seem to think that she has something to do with it, possibly because her face has shown up on some random video screen somewhere. But she has no idea.
Right.
Yeah, there's also the scene in the fast food place of her friends talking about the Knights, which seems like something they wouldn't even know about, because it's so, like, deep hacker subculture that... But somehow they know about it.
Well, it seems
the traffic hack has been in the news and stuff, so I guess it's like the stuff is starting to become more visible.
Yeah, I mean, in this case, it seems like Alice is looking into this stuff a little bit because she's genuinely curious about, A, what's going on, and, 2, what might be happening with Lane. Her friends are just kind of there being like, "Wait, what? The hack? I thought they were good guy. I don't understand what's going on." Like, they're the ones that are just sort of like, "I don't understand what any of this is. I just thought Lane was up to some dumb shit."
It's kind of like a little bit like of an... they portray the Knights in this conversation kind of... amorphous, like almost like an anonymous style thing of
it's definitely an anonymous style thing.
Yeah,
like, that's how they seem to view it.
That's collective. That, you know, what do they stand for? Who is it? It's not a who are they? It's a more thought, man, than a group of people.
Yeah. And right after this is where we start getting, we've moved on from inanimate objects in Lane's room that are talking to her to floating visions of her parents.
It's a quick turn.
The mom shows up and it's like, "Are you my real mom?" And there's no answer. Just completely no sells it. Just keeps talking about how the body only exists to verify one's own existence.
Yep.
The Wired might actually be thought of as a highly advanced upper layer of the real world. In other words, physical reality is nothing but an illusion, a hologram of the information that flows to us through the Wired.
But, Ma...
This is because the body, physical motion, the activity of the human brain is merely a physical phenomenon, simply caused by synapses delivering electrical impulses.
But, Mom, I...
The physical body exists on a less evolved plane, only to verify one's existence in the universe.
Are you really, truly my mother?
Some really incredible imagery there, I will say, though, around the parents and the weird floating visions of them. And Mom just loves her rice. Cannot stop eating the rice.
Who doesn't? Mom, again, you're talking about this dinner scene, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, where the sister is, like, watching everybody with the side-eyeing everyone, and everybody, and the mom and dad are just going on like normal.
Yeah, drinking their tea, eating their rice.
Yeah.
I think the sister at this point asked Lane if she saw her at the wherever the you know she was supposedly in the crosswalk and then immediately lets it drop.
Poor sister. She definitely is like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, especially from here, because from here on out, it's a bad fucking trip for her.
Yeah. Somebody gave her the bad brownies.
Because she's just, like, staring into, like, her food, and then suddenly she's, like, warped back onto the street, and then all the people around her start morphing into these weird, shadowy demon figures.
Yeah, kind of like in the vision in the school in an earlier episode, sort of, not quite the same, but, yeah, like, it's very unclear where or when or how she is at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Like, is any of this even occurring in the physical world? Is she in some fugue state, like... where and what the hell?
Because, like, from here on out, what happens is, like, she's then transported into the diner where she's seeing other people kind of milling around, and then suddenly they're gone.
Mm-hmm. But then you've got this, like, really overbright lighting coming through the windows that kind of seems to imply maybe this is not actually happening, that it's some dream state or something.
And that's where the coffee spills and forms the message of fulfill the prophecy.
Also, the like these little interludes are separated by static, aren't they?
Yes, some of them are.
So that also kind of makes you think this is some weird digital thing.
Because there's static, and then suddenly she's in a bathroom.
Yeah,
she's like, I usually have dinner with mom and dad right around now. What is happening? She kind of gets, you know, directed into a stall, and then she turns around, and then there's all this, like, text that looks like it's kind of written in blood that says, fulfill the prophecy again. And she doesn't know what any of this shit means.
No. It's all... she seems horrified by it, which is kind of horrifying. And then Lane's still talking to ghost parents, right?
Like this time it's dad, yes.
Ghost dad in his socks. Just kind of hanging out.
Are you real? Are you really my dad?
Have you ever considered another possibility? That what flows through the Wired isn't merely electrical information?
Huh?
If we can assume that it was the development of a worldwide system of electricity, phones, and computers that caused the eventual formation of the Wired, then I have to wonder if another world was created.
Another world?
Here in the real world, God exists only as an imaginary concept. But in the Wired, there may actually exist a sort of Deus-like embodiment of an all-powerful being.
Is it really God?
I really don't know whether or not it should actually be called a God, per se. But at the very least, I think it has the same kind of supernatural power that is written of in the old myths and legends.
You know, I think it might have been God that I talked with on several occasions.
The Deus of the Wired may already have harnessed enough power to cross over and affect the real world in some isolated instances. It's true, in the form of a prophecy.
Prophecy?
Just hanging out, talking about God, and, you know, yes, maybe information does just flow through the Wired, but if we assume that it was the development of electricity... and phones that brought about the formation of the Wired, then I have to wonder if another world was created at that moment.
Who knows? Who could say for sure?
And Lane's response to that is, which is maybe the most relatable answer she's had to any of this stuff. But in the Wired, maybe there's a sort of deus-like embodiment.
Like,
maybe there's a god out there.
Shut up, Dad. Are we up to the back at the house? Because this is my favorite part.
Yeah, this is the last scene. Yeah, this definitely was like a jaw hanging open moment.
Where you get the sister, who is now completely exhausted and terrified, just stumbles through the door.
Mm-hmm. Like, still in her school uniform.
Yeah.
And as she sort of crumples on the floor by the front door, she looks up and who does she see?
At home, sister! Herself!
The chill sister.
Yeah.
The one with the placid look on her face at all times. It seems like maybe not everything is going on upstairs.
She comes in and like it's I usually eat dinner with my family sister who has probably eaten dinner with her family.
Yeah, it was the part where Lane can see the real her that really blew my mind.
That like weird distortion, like
yes.
Oh, that part's super creepy. Like frozen in time.
Home Mika does not seem to even really acknowledge that she is seeing something, and when they cut to behind her back, it seems like there is nothing there.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Lane's like, hey, what's going on? It's like, nothing, don't worry about it.
What's the matter?
It's nothing. It's nothing at all.
Looks over there, and she can see this sort of, like, shimmering crystalline image of what looks like Mika trapped somewhere in another plane.
But like unmoving, right? It's just kind of like
yes.
frozen there.
Unmoving until she fades out.
And like kind of like a horrified look on her face. It's like a creepy
yes.
sculpture. It's very creepy image.
Locked into a rictus of fear, it appears.
Yeah,
I don't... So like, what is your guys' interpretation of what's going on there? Because I can tell you what mine was when I first watched this.
I want to hear yours.
So mine when I first watched this was... Oh God, is Mika trapped in the Wired somewhere? Mm-hmm. Is like her soul or her mind somehow trapped in within the realm of the Wired? Don't know how it got there. Don't know exactly what took place. But is there some version of her that has, you know, that is detached from a soul or from, you know, like her consciousness that is now still just like flopping around in the real world? Because later on when you see her, she looks like they just unplugged her from, like, where her mind would
normally
TV. Be.
Yeah.
Yeah, she looks totally zonked.
Yeah, it was kind of... I mean, it feels like it ties into the stuff that the voice was rambling about at the beginning, you know? Less that it's her trapped in there and more the idea of, like, the mundane physical form, you know, like consciousness transcending that and reaching some more divine or perfect form in the digital realm, you know? It's like... But again, that's actually why I was so confused that this was happening to her, because she does not seem to be on the Wired at all, or we've gotten no indication that she's into computers and is doing this stuff a lot.
Yeah. At most, it seems like she's engaged the way that, like, Lane's friends are, which is that they have little cell phones, and that's kind of it.
Right, right. But it kind of read to me, you know, it's sort of the idea of, like, growing beyond human limits by immersing yourself in the world of information.
Definitely.
And becoming something different or more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, definitely starting to get a little bit of that vibe for sure. I agree. Like a little childhood end, like we're becoming more than humans, like transhuman.
More human than human.
More human than human, but
yeah,
obviously not aware. I mean, maybe this is borrowing from a little bit from the next episode, but you mentioned it when the dad talks about it. Some alternate reality that has been created or spawned or done something through the quest for an electrified grid somehow. The currents mm-hmm. have aligned, maybe through some improper experimentation, some other realm has been opened where the consciousness can go and kind of simulate what is a real world. And maybe that is leaving the corporeal behind in a way that has, I don't know, not a lot of function. I don't know, but definitely some detachment between the physical world and the world of the mind, let's say. But not the personal mind, the more ethereal, universal, shared collective consciousness.
It's all mind, man.
I guess. Maybe. But Lane, I feel like, is straddling both, where some people has maybe a little more control over in and out of both.
Yeah. Well, as we move into our final episode for this week, that is Layer 6, Kids, which, boy, you know, you read that title, you're like, oh, that sounds fine, that sounds cute, and then you find out what Kids stands for, and Jesus fucking Christ.
Kids are all right.
No, they're not, as far as I can tell. We don't get to what that actually means here just for a few more moments. This is where the technology escalation has really reached critical mass. This is where Dad walks in, and it is just... Dude, it is steam shooting out of fucking industrial machines. There's tubes with green liquid all over the place. He's sweating his balls off the second he walks into her bedroom. He's just like, dude, what are you doing in here?
That zoomed out shot of her bedroom at the very beginning.
So cool.
Would make a good banner on Twitter or something.
I guarantee you lots of people have done
that,
man.
That's why I wouldn't do it, because I'm sure that is extremely overused at this point.
But the visual of it, the first time you see it, is so fucking incredible. Like, just the degree to which this has escalated over a matter of a few episodes. Like, it is unrecognizable as a thing that would be in a house.
I mean, it's really the wet floor, right? That takes it to the next level of Lane and...
I mean, the green tubes are definitely weird, too. And also the series of oscillators and other things that are all plugged in, all willy-nilly.
Everything else here I could totally get down with and see. Everybody has their own cooling solution. Cooling fluids are all different types of colors. People have a bunch of weird electronics around. But the floor being wet, that's really just...
This is where you draw the line.
That's just, look, I work in the basement. You don't want that wet floor. Yeah, Dad's now in kind of panic mode.
Yeah.
He's lost control of the situation.
And it's clear that when he's trying to talk to her, she's not listening. And it's not just because she doesn't care. She's literally in the wired, like, talking to someone, having a conversation with a physical manifestation of herself there. And in the real world, she just looks blissed out, man. She's just like...
Yeah.
Computers.
She's got it, man. He's jealous, I think.
Yeah. But when we see the manifestation of Lane in the wire, that is the most little girl I feel like has appeared in this show so far. She's like giggling and talking like, oh, why are you guys so nice to me? I don't have many real world friends.
Yeah.
Thanks, Knights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. But I verified that register a long time ago. Do you have any other suggestions to offer?
That's really hilarious!
Exactly right. I can't wait for the next generation protocol to finally be released. When it does, maybe I could. Why are you all so nice? That's absolutely the furthest thing from what I've been thinking lately. That's not what I'm thinking. I'm wondering... Well, what I'm really trying to say is that I just really don't have many friends to speak of. Thank you, Knights. I'll be sure to keep that in mind. That's right.
Yeah.
So, like, the Knights have clearly made some kind of outreach to her, and she is interacting with them, though, like, the real context of that is not actually revealed in this episode. Though, again, it does take a bit of a sinister turn at the end. And then this is the first time we start seeing another one of these kind of like ways in which the wired seems to be breaking the real world in some way or another, because kids are praising the sun.
They've just been playing a lot of souls, man. That's,
so that was where your mind went initially as well.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe the god of the wired is Lane.
Yeah.
Also, or is at least portraying itself as that.
Who can say?
Well, the first time, she's just walking to school, and she sees one kid just standing on the street, doing the arms outstretched, looking up at the sun, seemingly motionless. The one thing I find creepiest about this is that they never show you their faces while they're doing it. You never see what, but you get a little bit of an indication that there's, like, that same creepy smile that we've seen elsewhere might be on their faces.
The unexpected part of that whole scene to me is that it seemed like everybody could see the giant Lane in the clouds.
Yes.
Not just the people that are enraptured with whatever the hell's going on here, but like her friend can see it as well, right?
Oh, yeah, they're all shocked.
Yeah, that's what happens the next time she sees one of the kids. This is on the busy street as she's walking with her friends. But this is like two scenes later.
Yeah. When she's out shopping in her cool clothes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Because she looks like a normal teenager here. Like, she looks like she's having like a normal mall day with her friends, which is, you know, abnormal for her. But then she sees a couple of the kids on the street. They do the motion, and they look up at the sky, and the clouds part, and...
It's Monty Python Lane just coming out.
Lane, let's go!
No way!
Oh,
outstretched arms, like body, just sort of like, you know, lazy, like, kind of smile on her face. And everyone's just like, what the fuck?
Yo, what's up? This guy's failed to worship.
Mm-hmm.
And
worship this god.
Right, so at this point, you really gotta, like, I don't know. At this point, I was questioning either we are in some real supernatural shit here, or this whatever reality she's in is not reality.
Or it's something's being manipulated in a way that even she is not fully aware of yet, because she seems pissed when she sees this. Like, she has this very stern look on her face and seems very like, oh, what the fuck is going on here? Whereas everyone else is just like, Lane, what did you do?
Yeah, like time to get down to business. Time for business, Lane, to take effect here. But this is also, we get that scene, I think, pretty near this, where the sister is just zonked.
Yes, this is like kind of right after, is they're at home watching TV. That, like, the sister isn't just zonked out. Like, her arm is like draped over like she's dead.
Yes.
She's like catatonic in front of TV, basically. She's like, perhaps her actual being has left her.
Yeah, mom doesn't seem overly concerned, just like, hey, man, you're spending a lot of time getting home early.
It's kind of weird. Lane's the one going out now, and you're just like, you're just not doing anything. Hey, you think you're going to get that college recommendation?
Yeah, right. You're very quiet. Anyway, I'll just keep talking.
I do think that shot of the sister, like, face, like, from the face, where she's just laid out, the couch, is one of the more striking images in the show, period. It's so fucking disturbing.
Yes. Not good. But you do get business Lane coming up.
Yep. Oh, Lane is not fucking having this shit. She will even go in there and deal with, you know, weird troll assholes that are just stupid mouths if it means that she can find out what is going on here. Good old Cheshire Cat.
So you're the famous Lane, huh? You're something else, little lady. What other tricks can you do? To be able to transmorph your physical self so smoothly to here in the wired is no easy feat.
Stupid Cheshire Cat poser.
At the user level I'm currently at, this is the best I can do till I get the okay for the new software. I hear that most people can only manage ears. And I have a sexy smile, don't you think so?
Shut your hole, just give me the information.
I help Lane. This is gonna make me a hero with the local users and put me back on top.
There's too much hiss in your signal. Tell me about the game the kids are playing.
A game? There are kids' games of all kinds, just what do you mean?
What a moron, like you don't know.
Lane, I'm shocked. Where did you get the idea that it's a game?
To a kid, everything can be a game.
Oh, yes. Ah, so you called up the search results, is that right? Now I get it. And in your search, Lane, what exactly was it that you found?
The child killer scientist.
Yeah, this guy. Look.
Most people can only manage ears.
It's a Cheshire Cat wannabe, right?
Yeah.
Just she's like, she wants to know what the hell's going on. She wants to know about the game. She wants answers. She's on the internet for answers.
And it's not entirely clear exactly what Cheshire Cat is even doing here, this guy, because it seems like he's just like, oh, you searched for that. You found that yourself. I didn't do shit. Why am I even here?
He seems kind of like he does also have this vibe of he's impressed by Lane. He's like a groupie. Like, like, oh, man, tell him I helped you. I had something to do with this.
He comes off as someone who considers themselves elite.
Yes.
Like, he thinks he is very elite.
Not so much, though.
No, you know, and one thing that is never explicitly stated but is kind of gestured at throughout the series is that, yes, Lane does seem to have a presence in the Wired that a lot of people are aware of in one way or another. You know, you kind of teased it out in those early episodes of people being like, Lane of the Wired, I saw Lane. And even before she had really started plumbing the depths of it. And now it feels like all the cool online communities at least have some awareness of who she is.
And she gets her next breadcrumb here, which is anime professor.
Was kind of a record scratch moment, or this is definitely a moment where I had to put myself into the era that this came out, because I feel like aging scientist who ran a secret experiment some years ago that was covered up and did a tremendous amount of damage and has led to the present circumstances, like, such a well-worn trope at this point.
Mm-hmm. It's like the most Metal Gear thing that happens in this show, I think.
Yes, or even, I haven't seen Akira in a very long time, but that's a bit Akira as well, right?
Yeah,
to some degree.
Well, definitely like the experimenting on kids and doing weird shit with like psychic powers and technology. That's definitely part of that. And like here, she finds this professor who is on the verge of death, is in a hospital somewhere, but also apparently has, you know, decided to permanently plug himself into the wired until he dies. The only record scratch for me here is that I think the leap from getting to where we were prior to this to her suddenly having this name and this project and these things to look at is a little quick.
It's very fast.
Because she already seems to kind of be like, okay, kid, this kid's project, that's the thing. That's what this is. What does this mean? What are we doing? Why did you do this? What happened to you? And she eventually convinces him to just lore dump everything, but it does feel like it just kind of comes out of nowhere.
I don't know. The show has been so uninterested in explaining anything already to this point that mm-hmm. I just kind of took it in stride of like, well, I'm sure she came upon this information somehow, or maybe the mouth was like subtly leading her in a direction and that's how she came to it.
So, all right.
I don't take the Cheshire Cat as completely incompetent or just a poser or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like taking what he said at face value that most people cannot manifest any kind of physical being in the wired, and he's at least able to become a mouth and talk.
Yeah.
Like, does imply a certain level of skill or knowingness here.
So is the professor pretty good with the wired? Is he able to project his whole self in there? Does that mean he's like also high level wired user? Or
I mean, he is a scientist.
But she implicitly goes there, or at least first she kind of says the implication is that she wants to find out more about the video game, right? Like, hey, tell me about Phantasmia, whatever, or the
Phantoma.
Phantoma,
and
yeah.
And then kind of trips into this whole thing about I did it with the kids are psychic beings and they can every okay. child can emit
here,
a little bit
here's
of
here's what it is.
Okay.
Just to lay it out here, what the Kensington experiment was.
Psi, parapsychological ability is present in most children, although very faint in most of them, I must admit. It's nothing as outrageous or advanced as ESP. It's just good intuition, or enough physical ability to bend a coin or a spoon.
What are these things attached to their heads?
We call them outer receptors, incredibly sensitive. That's what receives the psi. Here is the kid's schematic. Individually, their psi may be quite weak, but harnessing the collective unconscious...
What were you expecting?
Something beyond your wildest imagination. That's what I wanted to see, young lady.
What did you make them do?
Science is practical. It isn't just about proving hypotheses. That's what I always believed in.
That's not what I meant. So, you didn't give any thought to the children at all, did you?
I can see now I didn't. It was the KID system that converted the psi received by the outer receptors into electromagnetic waves. These waves were turned into pure energy. This enhanced the function of a certain area of the brain. That is what kids really is.
When the children's psi was combined, how much energy was ultimately generated, and how were you planning to store it? Stop it! Enough!
And it didn't go great,
no.
Is what I've gathered here, is that it in fact went very badly.
And then the KIDS, good name scientist, you really mm-hmm. thought this one through. For the
kids!
For the thing for the children. Was this like black box that was collecting all the energy? Is that what it or
I think that's what
or,
it was.
Or
yeah.
able to collect the energy. And I guess the big thing to take away here, or that I took away, was in his experiment, he needed the collector dishes.
And outer receptors is what they're called.
Yeah,
yes.
Outer receptors. And he said after whatever happened that blew these kids' spirits or souls or whatever from their bodies, separating them or whatever, something real
whatever
bad happened,
happened
to these
here.
Kids. And he, because he got to say, like, oh, they're those kids' souls or spirits or whatever, they're lost. They're gone, irretrievable, can't put them back in the body, whatever it is.
Those children cannot return to the real world.
Yeah. So whatever happened is that he flushed the schematics down the toilet for KIDS kids and thought everything was fine. But then maybe somebody got the schematics and doesn't need the, what is it, outer receptors?
Well, he describes it as an emulation. Whatever that is being done here is that someone has taken the technology or the software and is emulating it in another form somewhere within the Wired. And that might be the thing that has sort of drawn them together here and connected the dots.
What's going on here?
What do you think's going on here?
I don't know. Like this one, this, okay, I was split here, right?
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like, this is where I got to the point where it's like, okay, did they, is this making basically another reality through the combined efforts of all of the people who have the latent psi abilities, and you're kind of through that, you can create your own reality that's not physical, and this exists now because of harnessing the collective powers of all the children of the world. And I might be projecting a little of my own anime bias in here. Yes,
by all means.
Yeah, the children have this. Only the children can do this, and we've been viewing this world that's created, not the real world, or going back and forth in these worlds. And is that what's going on here?
That's, I mean, I'm not going to tell you what's going on here.
So
but
that,
okay.
that's my general hypothesis that somebody is there is a thing called the Wired, maybe really, or the internet, and that is somehow connected to being harnessing these kids' potential energies and creating this non-corporeal reality out there using electricity and thought and all this stuff. And
basically someone has figured out a way to use the Wired to enact this technology in a way that is separate from the way it was originally designed.
And that creates this kind of other reality. Yes, other reality. And Lane is kind of bebopping between the real and the not real. Not exactly sure, but that's where my mind kind of went with this.
I don't expect you to be exactly sure at any point through this until we get to the very end. I do, and even maybe then, I don't know. But like, what about you, Brad? Where do you think this stuff is developing? You think it's the same or?
Yeah, I'm just taking this lore dump at face value because it seems to be presented that way, or that seems to be what they want you to do. So, I don't know. Everything from the professor showing up to the end of the episode feels pretty straightforwardly descriptive to me.
As straightforward as anything in this series gets, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, what do you, Brad, what do you think happened to these kids that were involved in this experiment? Because I feel like...
Oh, I had no idea. Like, no way to know. There's not enough information presented there.
Like,
maybe they're the Knights. I don't know.
Yes, that's what I thought, too. Maybe they're the Knights. Alex, you played... what's the name of the game with the radio waves? I just played the second one of.
Oh, Oxenfree.
Yeah, Oxenfree. I was starting to get a bit of Oxenfree vibes from this whole thing, if that makes sense.
With the idea that, you know, they're not in the afterlife. They're trapped somewhere in between.
Yeah, like split from their bodies, like in that, you know, like kind of getting that kind of vibe from what's going on here. Maybe it's just because I just played those games, but that was what immediately.
No, I don't think that's an unreasonable connection to draw. I mean, they were definitely like presenting the idea that like, the self is separate from the soul.
Yes.
And that, you know, when those two things become separated, you know, where do they go? Are they being, you know, manipulated or you know, reappearing somewhere within the Wired, that kind of thing. But like you said, there isn't necessarily enough information yet to really determine that. But
I mean, if you stack a lot of the pieces from the early episodes too, where like, I don't need to be in this physical world anymore. And, you know, the stuff that the other people are saying, it feels like it's leaning that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the connection to the Knights certainly is pretty explicitly stated here in the next bit where Lane comes out of the Wired.
That guy's dead, by the way, right?
Oh, yeah, he just dies. Yeah, he just says, okay, well, time to die, and then dies.
He just kind of Yodas his way out
of here. I'm very tired. I'm just going to go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, look, that guy, it's we're probably not worse off for losing him, but...
Yeah, her diatribe here is part of why I took all that at face value, because she did, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She comes out and just, like, gives it to whoever she thinks is listening to her about, you know, you're just doing this for kicks.
Yeah.
Like, you're just doing this because you can and you think it would be funny.
What are you people? What? Why are you telling me all this? What are you trying to accomplish, huh? Was I some kind of toy to play with? Is this all a game? What do you want to use these young kids for, anyway? Was it all just for your enjoyment? You don't care who you hurt, as long as you get a kick out of it. You're actually just a bunch of losers. Aren't you gonna speak up? Isn't anybody gonna answer?
Meanwhile, her cooling systems are, let's just say, boiling.
Yeah, I need to go. I need to see what Mebius.co.uk goes to at this point.
It's a cooling system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't buy one of theirs. They're susceptible to parasite bombs.
It is some Lane-themed site to this day.
Good.
Fantastic.
I don't know who might be maintaining this.
Is it even being maintained?
Well, I mean, I don't know who owns the domain and is paying for the hosting at this point. Mm-hmm. It's like an image. It's one image. So it's not like the hosting and the bandwidth cost much, but somebody would have to still be keeping up with the domain registration and stuff.
With the domain registration, but there's always the outside chance that at some point they just planted that site on like a university server somewhere and no one knows it's there.
Like it's just like serving from somewhere inside MIT.
I'll say again, I think I talked about this some weeks ago on the Ramblecast. I found one of a ska band that I used to tour with. I found their old website on the internet, but it was like a duplicate version of it that had one letter misspelled in the URL, which I assume was just their backup site that someone who worked, one of the guys in the band worked at UC Northridge. I'm pretty sure he just dumped that on their server somewhere and somehow it's still there.
I love it.
Whoever registered this domain did so about 5 years after this show aired, so it could just be a fan doing this.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're finding your way into the wired, Brad. Stop digging too deep.
Maybe.
We're back with the guys in their Sam Fisher goggles.
Yes, they have back. They're with their laser pointers. She doesn't mind fuck them this time. She kind of comes downstairs and just starts yelling like a normal person.
I mean, she's pissed.
Yeah. And they seem to instinctively know that her cooling system is about to explode.
Yeah, I think, okay, the wired mystery is pretty intriguing. Like, what's going on with the wired? What's going on with Lane? What's going on with the sister? What's going on with the mom? What's going on with the dad? But really, the thing I need to know, and I really hope this is explained by the end of this, is what does that red laser dot do on their goggles? What can they see that we cannot?
Maybe it lets them see through the bullshit.
I need to know at the end of this,
maybe
if nothing else,
a cat will chase it.
I need to know what in the world does that thing do? Because
I think it looks cool is what it does.
Maybe it looks cool. I don't know. Cause it's cool. Anyway. Yeah. The parasite bomb is in. Somebody put it in there. She thinks they're the knights.
Yeah, that's the part that threw me for a loop. Like the bomb goes off, they warn her about it. Obviously, they knew about it, but yeah, she accuses them of being knights, but then they say that the knights planted the bomb and that they are not them.
Hey, you! You are the knights, aren't you? I'm right, aren't I? You're the knights!
Please get down.
Huh? What the heck was that?
It was just the cooling system up in your room.
They must have planted a parasite bomb inside your cooling system.
Are you saying you didn't do it?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Then tell me who did it.
The knights.
What?
Dun dun dun.
And then they peel out.
Yep, they're just like, we're not gonna tell you who we are. We're just gonna leave that little nugget of information in your brain to roll around for a while.
So I wonder if or when the nature of these dudes is going to be explained.
All I'll say is that the nature of them does become clear at some point, though, right. You know, I'm not going to say what it is, but they don't just leave that dangling forever.
Yeah, they've shown up enough and seem to know too much to just keep stringing the viewer along forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a purpose in the story. And it's to warn Lane not to get blown up by her own cooling system.
Well,
what's a parasite bomb? Do they say they don't? I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
In this, well, look, you got viruses and you got all this other stuff. They just escalated and took it to parasite bomb.
Yeah.
I gotta say though, they did not warn her that there was a parasite bomb in her cooling system until she came downstairs out of the house and was already away. So we don't know. Like, exactly what their intentions were.
No, but they did tell her to get down before the explosion happened.
Right, but they didn't call her out of the house or anything.
I don't think she would have listened if they had.
No, so...
So the question is, did they already know she was going to come outside?
Oh, man. Oh, that's too much question.
That's going to bake your noodle.
Oh, no. Like, they've seen the... Mm-hmm. In this reality, she comes out of the house.
It's not, how did you know that I was going to come outside? It's that... Were you always going to come outside?
The prophecy.
Yeah, is that the prophecy? Was the prophecy that you were going to come outside right now? And now it's been fulfilled.
Oh no, did all her stuffed animals get blown to smithereens from that window blows out?
I'm not sure where those stuffed animals went. They were not hanging out on the windowsill by the time that room was done with.
I'll tell you, out of all the episodes, we're up to six, obviously, and this is six. Out of all the episodes, this one had me wanting to just hit seven right away because...
Totally.
Because I feel like this one left on like... What are her parents going to say now? Is mom finally going to be like, wait, I'm sorry, what were you doing in your room?
Well, sorry. Also, the previous two episodes, while informative in their own way, are really just a string of images that sort of like speak philosophy at you and, you know, allude to really weird fucked up shit.
Yeah.
This one ends with some fairly concrete, no, this is what happened.
And now this is a 12 episode run?
13.
13, so we're in the back half here.
Yes.
So
we're about to hit over the hump on the next one.
I feel like we've had a lot of setup, and she's lost her navi, maybe has lost her home, though.
Not just her room, I think. The rest of the house seemed to be structurally intact.
I don't know if it's clear the whole computer is toast necessarily, but...
It looks like it did some damage. Could be. But she seems tech savvy enough where now she could make a thing out of a tin can. Would be surprised if she is now in some underground den, like, give me all your tech, give me that watch.
I guess that's the question I have, is are you more excited to find out what happens in the mystery, or you just want to know next week what happens to her computer?
I imagine she's going to be in some cyber rundown warehouse with just computers.
Renting out a cyber cafe?
Yes, and just like the most bootstrapped computer stuff, because she's got to get back in.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited. This is like a dramatic part to leave it at. I want to find out what happens.
Now, Brad, I know sometimes you have a little bit of a trouble with just a lot of, you know, philosophical and ethereal nonsense happening in the context of a story like this, but has this been holding your attention? Or are you still into it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, a through line is closer to cohering now than it has ever been in the show, is what I'm trying to say. Like, the show's willingness to drop weird shit and then just, like, abandon it is pretty profound. Like the thing at the end of like episode 3, I think it was, with the weird digital face that she gives to her sister at the end. There's a lot of that going on, but like, if anything, this lore dump in the middle of this episode was like almost too direct for me.
It was like tease it out a little bit, guys.
Like, it was like so tonally dissonant with the rest of what's been going on here. Here's what happened. Like, here's the technology. Here's who suffered. Here's what somebody is doing with it now. Here's, like, possibly why all of this is happening.
But it does, at the very least, you know, as much as it is, I agree with you, it is a very, like, specific and direct thing that feels like it kind of comes out of nowhere. It does tie together, at least, with the Fantomas stuff. Like, I thought, you know, at the end of episode 4, and when they move into 5, it feels like they've just moved off of that entirely. But you realize, no, they haven't. It's just that the investigation has shifted. And now it's just one plot point that she is sort of like using to get one breadcrumb trail amid many that she is using to kind of try to hone back to where, you know, like where the source of all this stuff is.
It's always old secret black box experiments, you know.
It's always the damn government, man.
It's always the government just kind of exploring pushing too far with the brain and the mind.
Hey, government, Leave the psychic kids alone, man.
Look, if it's not UFOs, it's ESP and psychic stuff. We just need to uncover everything.
Absolutely.
Before we go, I have to mention, because I'm looking at the end of this episode, I have to say one more thing. I cannot believe I didn't catch this last week.
Mm-hmm.
Remember my little spiel about, like, Apple almost going out of business, and it came down to, you know, they were going to buy Steve Jobs' company next, or B Incorporated?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
The B and to be continued at the end of every episode. Like, I cannot believe I didn't catch this. Is the B logo?
Is it? Oh wow!
It quite literally is the B Incorporated logo.
Okay, so that's on our subtitles, right? So that's mm-hmm. not burned.
No. That's the one
that's in the title card.
That is in the episode.
So that's not our subtitles.
No, that is baked into the show.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Blue capital B and red lowercase e.
Oh, okay. Pretty good.
I mean, you know, like Alex said, there's a bunch of Apple-related stuff throughout this show.
And I'm sure you will find more of that as we go along.
Are you saying from now on I should just kind of map whatever I think conspiracy theory is happening to Apple, you know, kind of making an alternate reality where their products are... What is their new headset called? Is it just an Apple headset, their VR thing?
God,
I forgot the name of it already.
I think it's a bad sign for their branding that it took me a minute to remember, the Vision Pro.
Vision Pro, right, okay.
I had forgotten they were even doing that.
Yeah, look, we're just getting here, okay? At least it's not circular where they're not naming it after stuff from Lane. Like, they're not calling it The Wired. And like,
not yet.
We have some horrible thing happening where the thing that tech magnates like to do, which is take the worst elements from sci-fi and then name their company for it and be like, that was the bad thing, you idiot. Mm-hmm. That you shouldn't name. Don't do that.
That's it. I'll say it again. The Wired is a way better name for the internet than the internet.
Wired's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Though, if we had The Wired and they called it the internet, I might be like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think we're
and
just
I guess
so
once you get into
that.
Wireless, then it kind of breaks down, doesn't it?
It does. You can't, yeah. Or you had wired wireless.
Or again, is God in the Wi-Fi?
God is definitely in the Wi-Fi. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff in the Wi-Fi. It's a lot of conspiracy theorists.
He's the one who keeps interrupting your connection.
Oh my gosh.
That fucker.
give me better connections. How do you get my password?
God, only God knows. All right, well, with all that said, we are done with those three episodes. We have two more episodes here of our show and another 7 episodes to watch. The next three that are coming up next week, the next three layers, Society, Rumors,
mm-hmm.
and Protocol.
Okay.
What can you divine from those titles?
There was some talk of Protocols through this, specifically about linking the games together, mm-hmm. I think.
She couldn't wait.
That was,
and she couldn't wait until the new Protocol comes out.
There's that, and yeah, also the kind of, I think she speculated that the Knights or the hackers, whoever, they were exploiting some loophole, is how they connected those games together and stuff.
I'm also just going to say, Protocol was a very popular buzzword around this time. You could just name, like, my dad named his company at one point Protocol Interface because those were two words that sounded good for a technology company, and he was right.
He's right. PI. Mm-hmm. Very good.
That's why a lot of acronyms end in P on mm-hmm. the internet.
Yeah. Protocol, Society, and Rumors.
Yes.
Okay. It's all right there.
I don't want to start any blasphemous rumors, but if I remember correctly, next week's episodes will also be some shit.
Good.
That's all I'll say.
I look forward to it.
Well, I look forward to those as well. I'm glad you guys are still enjoying it. As I said, two more episodes in Serial Experiments Lane, and then we are going to move on to our next thing. At the end of our Lane excursion, we will announce what that is. We're not ready yet, so keep an eye out for that. As always, thank you, Brad. Thank you, Vinny.
Thank you.
And thank you to everyone who's been listening and watching at home along with us. We'll see you next time.
Shut your hole, just give me the information.